A different kind of infrastructure plan takes form. I'm David Brancaccio with the Maine Talks on Fixing Infrastructure and an Impasse. A side group of 10 Democrats and Republicans in the Senate say they have come up with a deal, although details are scant and it's unclear if other key players will embrace this. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
The bipartisan group of senators took over infrastructure negotiations after talks between the White House and Republicans fell apart. Now they say they've reached a deal on a, quote, realistic compromise framework. It calls for $579 billion in new spending. That's substantially more than the Republicans' last offer. The senators say their plan would be fully paid for and not include tax increases. But Senator Mitt Romney, who's part of the negotiating group, did say the deal may include a hike in the gas tax that will be in the form of indexing the tax to rise with inflation. Another source of funds senators are reportedly considering is untapped COVID relief money already approved by Congress. The White House has previously opposed both of those funding sources, and a spokesman said the administration has a number of questions about the latest plan. Meanwhile, senators cautioned their deal could change as they talk to colleagues, both Republican and Democrat, to get more of them on board. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Following up now on yesterday's consumer price index, up 5% in a year, the biggest spike since just before the 2008 financial collapse. Among so many things more expensive, food away from home, not the food you buy for cooking at home. Here's Marketplace's Marielle Segarra.
It really comes down to this. Costs are going up for restaurants, and they're passing those along to customers. Dana Peterson is chief economist at the Conference Board.
So, for example, the food, commodity prices for food have been on the rise.
Red meat, chicken, seafood, it's all getting more expensive. So are supplies, like pizza boxes. And so is shipping. Also,
many restaurants are finding it difficult to find workers.
A lot of people left the industry during the pandemic, found other jobs that pay better or have better working conditions. So restaurants have raised wages to attract workers. They're passing that cost on, too. Andrew Ridgey, executive director at the New York City Hospitality Alliance, says this all comes at a tricky time.
Restaurants owe an enormous amount of back rent. They have tons of debt, and they're trying to figure out how to manage that.
He says higher prices could turn off some customers, but they're hoping that'll be offset by people's desire to get out of their houses and socialize after more than a year of lockdowns. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Back when pandemic hit, that slice of music we used to serve while presenting the financial market indicators got put into cold storage. Neither I nor anyone else was in the mood. Well, the world remains a disaster, of course, but sometimes we need a bit of music in our lives. So in early trading on this Friday, let's do the numbers. Yeah, the Dow is up 65 points, 0.2%. The S&P is up 0.1%. The NASDAQ is up 0.2%. And despite the burst in higher prices that we've been talking about, the 10-year interest rate is only slightly higher at a very low 1.46%. And on shortage patrol here, there's news Starbucks is having trouble getting lots of stuff. Lids, straws, guava juice, cold brew. How will you manage? President Biden is at the Group of Seven summit in Cornwall today, part of his first overseas trip as president. Managing economic recovery will be on every leader's mind there, and so will how vaccine-rich countries will get the shots to the vaccine-poor. The BBC's Vishala Sripathma in London filed this for us.
Cornwall, southern England. It's the most searched-for place for properties in the UK, all thanks to its bright coastline and stunning English countryside. Right. And the county is host to this year's G7 summit, where the heads of the most powerful countries in the world convene. It'll be the first meeting of political significance in person since the pandemic began last year.
Great pleasure, Mr. President, to welcome you to Cornwall.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson there greeting President Biden. So what will these global leaders be talking about over their Cornish pasties and shortbread? Well, it's been widely reported that leaders will pledge 1 billion doses for poorer countries. Whilst this will be welcome news, there has been growing public anger at the failure of the G7 states to share their surplus supply of vaccines, particularly as countries like Haiti have yet to administer a single jab. Meanwhile, vaccine rollout has been going quite well in Europe and the US, with over 40% of Americans and 77% of Brits having had a jab. Plans to vaccinate the entire world by the end of next year will be discussed at the summit, but some feel that it's all come too late in the day. Dr. Ayode Alakija is the co-chair of the African Union's COVID-19 Vaccine Delivery Alliance.
We have over 7 billion people in this world who currently, about 5.5 billion right now, needing vaccines, and only about 2.5 billion have been so far delivered into countries.
In May, the Biden administration announced its backing for a waiver on vaccine patents. But the suggestion was met with resistance from European countries who argue that patents were not the main bottleneck to production and distribution. Thomas Kwenyi is the Director General of the International Federation of Pharmaceutical Manufacturers in Geneva.
Speeding up vaccination is, on the one hand, really tackling the trade barriers. That's hugely disruptive. Secondly, we need to tackle the inefficiencies in terms of making sure that the companies who do have a vaccine have access to the raw materials, the ingredients. And I think the rich countries should be fairer allocating early vaccines to poorer countries.
It's all smiles and socially distant handshakes for now, but for global vaccination rollout to gain speed, the sharing of data with developing nations is crucial, an issue that may cause a splash between the president and the Europeans. In London, I'm the BBC's Vishala Sripathma for Marketplace.
I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.